You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Welcome to MLB.com Extras, the Colorado Rockies. I am Allison Sutter from MLB.com. I will soon be joined by my esteemed colleague, Thomas Harding, who covers the Rockies wonderfully for MLB.com. And, of course, we're looking at the Rockies as we're talking about a few different things than we would maybe for a contender this time of year. It is officially September, so a lot of teams are in the stretch run. Some teams are playing out the string. The Rockies seem to be the latter. But there are some interesting things to talk about, and they've had some good performances by a couple different players, and it makes for some interesting fodder as we look toward next year. So let's bring in Thomas Harding. And, Thomas, I'd like to kind of start, it's sort of an interesting thing, because now the Rockies are in a position to possibly get the first pick of the draft next year, which is not, a source of pride necessarily for a lot of teams. But there does come a point where when you see that the season is sort of a lost season and you have this opportunity to get the first pick, you almost wonder if teams are sort of hoping, not that they want their team to lose, but in a way they maybe don't want them to finish so strongly, because when you have the first pick, it's a larger bonus pool. There's a lot of things with the new rules with the draft that can really benefit the team that has the first pick. So from a Rockies standpoint, just your feeling on it, I mean, do you feel that there's maybe a need for them to grab that worst record in baseball to get that first pick?
You know, I don't see the need for that. Their drafting record hasn't been the best, especially when it's come to pitchers in recent years. John Gray and Eddie Butler and Tyler Anderson down at Tulsa, which is in the playoffs this week, they may be able to reverse that. I think now if you can grab that first pick and you can find a way to lose a few free agents to where you get some other compensatory picks along with the competitive balance pick, I could see where that could be a strategy of sorts. But I don't see that they're going to be celebrating having the first pick. I mean, a couple years ago they had the third pick, and they've been a perennial top 10 picking team. And generally, whether it's the overall number one pick in the draft or someone in the top five or so, you're looking at a very similar player. So I don't think that it's like the NFL where you can draft your franchise quarterback or your franchise pass rusher and know he's that guy and begin using him the following year. I don't think that's necessarily the case in baseball. I think if they're going to be excited about a draft position, they pretty much clinched the top five position right now. So if they're going to be excited about it, they should already be celebrating.
Yeah, I think celebrating.
If that's a celebration, a
stretch. Yeah. That's true. But I just feel like with the new rules and the way that the draft is set up now, that there just aren't as many quote-unquote unsignables as used to be. I mean, problems with the way that the Pirates drafted for so many years was just that there were so many players that they weren't going to be able to afford to be able to sign, that they had to take all those high picks and draft guys that were signable, and they ended up being disasters. I mean, most of them didn't reach the big leagues, mainly because they just weren't very good players. And I just feel like now the leverage is a lot of that leverage is gone, because there's only a certain amount you can spend anyway. And while there's negotiations, it's a lot less than it used to be. And you would think that the lesser teams would maybe benefit from that.
Well, I think they'll benefit to some degree. And if you look at a couple of the drafts that the Rockies have had, they drafted a middle infielder, Ryan McMahon, I believe it was last year, who's turned out to be a pretty good player. What they are able to do in the new slotting system is they pay that first pick, especially if it's a college guy, they paid him a bit under slot and use the rest of that money to sign those compensatory picks or the competitive balance picks. So I think the draft is set up for the strategy that the Rockies have. And, yes, your first pick, if he's the number one overall pick and he's a college guy, maybe you'll have to go two slot on him, and that may affect the ability to sign players lower down. But you're right. It's not going to matter that much. It's not going to decide who you pick, because of the new slotting rules. You can pretty much pick the player you want with the number one overall pick.
Right. Well, let's get back to what's actually going on with the Rockies right now. And there's a 23-year-old pitcher, Tyler Matzek, who's really performing pretty well. I read something interesting on the Rockies website just about, how much should they push him, how many innings is enough, and the word kind of is that they're not really monitoring him at this point. But he pitched 66 two-thirds innings at Triple-A. He's got 84-plus innings in the major league, so 150 innings, more than he's ever pitched in pro ball. And they, you know, you really, there's a fine line. You really have to be careful to make sure that they're not overextending themselves, especially in a non-contending season. How much is enough? And do you think that they will just have him pitch throughout for the rest of September?
I think they can have him pitch throughout September, but keep an eye on the pitch count. I do have a concern about this already being the most innings he's ever pitched. But if you look at it this way, he was a 2009 number one draft pick, and it's taken him a while to get here. He has been beaten around a bit. He spent some time in the bullpen. So I think that there may be less concern because of the number of years he has been in the organization. And I think it is showing now that he's actually ready to pitch in the big league. So I can understand why it's less of a concern still. It seems like almost everybody gets hurt. So, you know, do you become careful with him through September? I would see nothing wrong with skipping a start with him in the latter part of September. However, I guess if you're trying not to be the number one draft pick, then maybe you want to throw him out there because he is one of your better pitchers.
Well, I found it pretty entertaining to read some of the coverage on what was going on. There was some very good timing for September 1 to come when it did, meaning that rosters could expand. The Rockies happened to have to play finish up a suspended game from May. And that was nice to have those reinforcements because it's basically like a partial doubleheader. Which is never easy. So I'm sure that the team was pretty happy to have the extra reinforcements just to get through that day.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, they had Matt McBride came up, I believe Rafael Ynoa, who I'm not sure if he played yesterday or not, but he's a guy who is a middle infielder that could, you know, give them some depth next season. The one thing that hurts them, and I don't think it really hurts them totally, is the fact that Double-A Tulsa's in the playoffs, and there are players there who could be here in the major leagues, but right now it is more important for them to compete for a championship there, pitch with everything on the line, play with everything on the line, than it is to come here with a team that's completely out of it and be part of a full clubhouse of nearly 40 guys. So it does hurt them a little bit. We don't get to see John Gray. We probably won't see Eddie Butler again or Tyler Anderson. But all those guys are high draft picks, and if they're pitching well in October for a team going for a championship, I think that means more. But as for the position players, yes, September 1st came at the right time.
Yeah, it's interesting because it's a spirited debate that I've had with fans here in Houston before. Trying to explain why it's important for players that are being developed through a system to understand what winning means and to have experience having won at some level before they get to the big leagues. For years here, players were being developed, and it was a farm system that was barren, but playing through this, you know, making their way through the system, the ones that did reach the big leagues, had never had any taste of a division race, a championship race, anything in the minor leagues. And it is important for them to come together as a cohesive unit, to understand and to win together and to feel that taste of victory, to understand what it's going to take on the major league level to get to that point too, and to kind of be a little bit more prepared for it, I would think.
I would agree with that. Not necessarily winning in and of itself, I don't think is that important at the minor league level, but here's where it's important. When teams win at any level, there are guys who accept different roles. I mean, everybody that's drafted in the baseball probably batted third or fourth or maybe first on their team. Well, you bat in different positions. Maybe you were asked when you were in college to do one thing, but in the pros you're going to have to do something else, because usually when you break into the majors, you break in at a lower leverage spot in the batting order, or sometimes you break in as a reliever, maybe not pitching the ninth inning, but pitching the all-important sixth or seventh inning. When you learn that in the minor leagues, when you have to do things to win a game that day, I think it makes you more prepared for the major leagues, because you haven't just been passed through the system as a number three or number four hitter. You've had to learn to do different things, because when they call you the big leagues, you don't know what they're going to call you for. You don't know if you're going to be called up to be a backup, a pinch hitter. You don't know if they're going to ask you, hey, I know you've batted second throughout the minors, but we need you in eighth position. So that's where winning in the minor leagues matters, because when you have a winning mindset, you ask players to do things outside their comfort zone, feeling that they're going to be asked to do that when they get to the major leagues.
That's a very, very good point, and I'm going to now use that as part of my arguments. Thank you, Thomas Harding. See, I learned something today, and appreciate your time. And we'll hey, I don't think we talked about injuries today, so I'm like 2 for 2. So we'll go for 3 for 3 next week. Thank you.
Thank you. I don't want to talk about injuries any more than you do. Believe me, I've seen enough of them. I feel like I need Grey's Anatomy right beside me as I write every story.
Exactly. We'll see what we can do to help you out. Thomas Harding, thank you very much.
Catch all of the second half action on MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service. Watch every out-of-market game stream live online or on the go in true HD. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 14 subscription, allowing you to watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.